Idaho Matters right now. Lake Coeur d'Alene is one of the most beautiful natural lakes in all of the Northwest. The North Idaho body of water is home to flora and fauna, and it's an important place in the Coeur d'Alene tribe's culture as well. It's also home to a lot of vacation houses, and people from all over the world visit every year to enjoy the lake's recreational opportunities. However, below the surface, there is an environmental disaster that scientists say is looming. After decades of mining activity in the region, the lake's bottom has a layer of dangerous sediment that's settled after flowing from the mines. Now, toxic algae blooms are an annual concern, but there's an even bigger worry on the minds of scientists. So joining us now to help explain what's going on is Eli Frankovich, a journalist with the Spokesman Review who recently wrote about the lake. Eli, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
So before we ask you for a mini science lesson, can we get a quick history lesson? Remind us of the historic mining up in that region that's frankly the root of this problem.
Yeah, exactly. So, and as you mentioned, I mean, if anyone's been to Lake Coeur d'Alene, it's just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. And
you would never know that there's this, toxic sediment at the bottom. But in 1884, kind of the late 1800s, mining started in the Silver Valley, which was now called the Silver Valley. And it was just a really profitable concern for a long time. But it also produced this toxic runoff, essentially, that flowed downstream into the Coeur d'Alene Basin and eventually into the Lake Coeur d'Alene. And that all prompted in 1980s, the Environmental Protection Agency actually declared the valley a Superfund site, one of the first.
And then how much sediment are we talking about then in the lake?
Yeah, so a best estimate is 75 million metric tons, which is sort of incomprehensible, but that averages out to about 480 tons of new sediment coming into the lake each year during sort of the peak time. So
then what kinds of metals are we talking about within this sediment?
Yeah, lead, mercury, and arsenic mostly.
Okay, so I'm assuming then that this sediment is causing issues or is it relatively okay from an environmental standpoint if it stays at the bottom?
Right now, and this is so part of the science that I don't, as a journalist, I don't fully understand. To be honest.
Right.
But as it is right now, that sediment, those 75 million metric tons, is trapped at the bottom of the lake, and the oxygenated water columns actually act as sort of a cap holding it down. And one of the big concerns is that if the lake loses oxygen, essentially, that those sediments could resuspend in the water columns, and that would cause all sorts of problems.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this right, less oxygen in the water means more of the metals leaving the bottom of the lake and coming into the actual lake. Okay.
And you'd mentioned the algae blooms, and that's pretty key here. So if there are algae blooms, widespread ones, that algae eventually dies, right? And it floats to the bottom of the lake where these metals are suspended. Mm-hmm. And then as that algae decomposes, it actually sucks up the oxygen down there, which would lead to could lead to resuspension.
Okay, so do scientists have an idea of when or if something like this could happen?
You know, my understanding is that that's part of why it's sort of scary, is that they don't know exactly when it could happen. It could, I had one scientist tell me, it could happen in 6 months, or it could happen in 20 years, or it could never happen.
So. Oh, don't you love answers like that?
Yeah, the nuance and the uncertainty.
Right. So with the algae blooms, as you mentioned, though, so that's phosphorus, right? That's kind of what helps the more phosphorus means there are more algae blooms, which then basically chokes the oxygen, right? And that becomes
yeah, and that's one of the issue. Yeah, phosphorus is one of those key metrics that they've looked at, and since the 90s, the amount of phosphorus in the lake has roughly doubled.
Oh, okay. So what are the sources of the increased phosphorus then in the lake?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. I think runoff from like yards and development along the lakeshore, not to mention like septic systems, that sort of thing, logging too can contribute. I think a lot of the focus has been on development lately, just as the Coeur d'Alene region grows.
Okay, so we've talked about the science as best we can as journalists. Yes. Okay, I want to talk about the politics behind this, because you recently wrote about a new review of data that's been collected, and it shows that the water quality in Lake Coeur d'Alene is getting worse. Governor Little ordered that review. So why is it being done, and who's conducting it?
Yeah, so basically what happened when in the 80s, when the Superfund site was designated, it extended down all the way into Lake Coeur d'Alene. However, they due to sort of the stigma around Superfund sites, the lake itself doesn't receive any funding from the federal government, and management has been given to the Coeur d'Alene tribe and the state of Idaho. And so since 2009, they've had a lake management plan, which is intended to address these this issue. And even predating the 2009 management, this gets a little wonky, but it is important. Predating the 2009 management plan, tribal and state scientists have been collecting this data and continue to phosphorus and other metrics. And it's sort of every metric is trending in the wrong direction as far as they see it. So this review that was ordered by Governor Little in 2019 and has just started now will basically go back over that collected evidence and science and review it. The National Academy of Science will review it and make sure that it is rigorous and accurate. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's fair to note that the Coeur d'Alene tribe controls a big chunk of the lake. However, they had zero say in the historic mining that went on, runoff came. So I think that's really important.
A kind way of saying it.
Yeah, a very kind way of saying it. Yes. Yeah. So I'm curious about the tribe itself, and what the tribe has to say about this additional review from the National Institute of Science.
Yeah, I mean, well, some important information. They actually left the lake management plan in 2019. Because their perceived lack of action, basically, like, well, we know what's happening, why aren't we doing anything is what sort of their position was. So they left that that group in 2019. The review themselves, I think that the general position is, yeah, I mean, you can look back at our data, we stand by it, and it's going to take 18 months this review, and sort of like, well, why should we wait? Should we spend that time? That's sort of the general. They're not totally dismissive of it, but they're not like helping fund it or anything like that.
So, are there steps that can be taken to mitigate the sediment problem if this review comes back and says, you know, and aligns with what the data has already put out there?
Are there steps? Yeah, I think, and one of the bigger ones is like the lakeshore development ordinances in and around the lake. The current one hasn't been updated since 1973, and that's in Kootenai County. So there's a 25-foot buffer, development buffer. And I think a lot of sort of scientists and others say that needs to be, you know, stricter. There needs to be stricter development laws.
So, but basically we're going to be waiting for about 18 months, as you said, to find out the results of this review and then where we go from here.
Yeah. And the rationale the rationale behind the review, the NAS review is, it could lead, if this is all correct, this could lead to pretty drastic sort of changes in development and just around the lake. Right. And so I think Governor Little and others, their sort of position as well, we just want to be really sure and like, yeah, before we implement these sort of big changes that could, you know, cause a lot of pushback from some people and some groups.
To put it kindly, there would be some pushback. Yeah. Eli, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about this. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, and you know, I would love to, for your listeners, Emily Benson at High Country News wrote just a wonderful feature on this issue in 2019. Very in-depth, so.
Well, perfect. We'll find that and put it on our website. We'll also put your article on our website as well. We've been talking to Eli Frankovich with the Spokesman Review. Thanks, Eli.
Thank you.
More Idaho Matters next.